I guess yesterday I certainly didn't try to conceal my excitement about the Ramban's position and the way that he arrived at the position in particular, which I find to be really so inspirational. But to review the way that the Ramban set things up. So the Ramban approached the sugya from a Babli-centric perspective, but we know that we have two different schools of thought in the Rishonim in terms of how to really understand the Talmud Babli, and in particular the transition between Hey Amud Beis and Vav Amud Aleph. So you have a school of thought, and the Shulte Giborim does a great job pointing this out, and he says, you know, they're basically Rishonim, the Rif and on down, who just want to read Vav Amud Aleph in light of Hey Amud Beis. Like, we settled all the issues. The issues have been adjudicated, they've been, you know, settled, asked and answered, and Rashi is really at the forefront of that perspective. You know, it says Lo Yimatzeh here, but it might as well say Bal Yirah, because we're talking about Kabbalah Sachrayas, and not like the Ran tries to spin Rashi a little bit. It's a valiant effort. I'm not saying, God forbid, to misrepresent, but to try to make Rashi work a little bit better with the text of the Gemara. The fact is, Rashi says those words of Hevi Kedideh, right, that it's clearly consistent with his position on Hey Amud Beis, of Mamono Kemamonacha, right? And that's the perspective. Rashi's not alone in that perspective. In some ways, I made a half-serious remark. You know, Rashi's paid to comment on every line of the Gemara. It's maybe more belayed for Rashi, but it's really not different than it is for the Rif. You know, and the Rif can choose to include and exclude things, which is obviously very telling. His exclusion of this sugya is effectively what Rashi does. It's just that Rashi has to go on the record in a more explicit kind of a way. And that's one school of thought, and, you know, we've affiliated that with Rashi, the Rif, Rambam, the Ran, Klala, Demilsa, Kabbalah, Sachrayas, that's really what we're interested in. And then, of course, we have a goodly number of Rishonim on the other side of the spectrum. Clearly the Ramban, but also the Ritva and Rabbeinu Tam, and in a different kind of a way, the Rush, who still feels the need to relate to these issues. And so it'd be good for us to take a moment to review some of those issues. So for Rashi to project Kabbalah Zachrayas, right, from Hey Amud Beis to Vav Amud Aleph, even though it's not in the Gemara, prompts the Balei HaTosfos to say that I don't really understand why the Gemara is spending so much time saying Yiched Lo Bayis, Lo Yiched Lo Bayis, right, if there's no Kabbalah Zachrayas, what difference would it make anyway? Question number one. Question number two is, if there's really not an issue at play of setting aside a specific location and then us trying to figure out, well, to whom does that location relate and or belong, we don't really understand the Hemsheikh of the Gemara in terms of Schiras Kanya or Schiras Lo Kanya. It's like a non sequitur, right, which is the second point that the Balei HaTosfos raised. The Ramban, as I said, goes straight for the jugular. The Ramban says, Rashi, if you're correct about this, there's an even bigger problem in the Gemara, which isn't just, you know, the flow of the Gemara, but Rami, go ahead. Right, it's just talking about the wrong pasuk. It's not a Bal Yimatzeh issue, it's really a Bal Yirah issue. So the Balei HaTosfos themselves, and the Ramban makes it quite clear that he would have been comfortable with this kind of an approach. So the Balei HaTosfos themselves say, in the end of the day, what's at stake in the Gemara is the question of Rishus as a Mechayiv, and when you have a position of Yichei Lo Bayis, that sufficiently mitigates Hifkido Etzlo, Afilu Bekabalas Achrayas, and you are Mekabal Achrayas Al Chemto Shel Nachri, No Bailus, Beveso Shel Nachri. Consider the bias of the Nachri, and Rabbeinu Tam leaves it there, and the Ramban says, basically, I would have read Vav Amud Aleph in the same way. I was never prepared, the Ramban is saying, to do what Rashi did. I was never prepared to do what the Rif did. I was never prepared to do what the Rambam did and just basically collapse Vav Amud Aleph to Hey Amud Beis, which is just a way of saying that Bal Yirah should dominate the entire discussion. You know, yesterday we spent a lot of time, and each time you go through it, like, new things emerge. Like Rami was pointing out one thing yesterday that I hadn't noticed. You know, when the Rambam discusses it, if anybody could just remind me, you know, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph there in Chametzu Matzah, the Rambam's expression is so telling at the beginning of the Perek. What does he say? Kasav Batora, Levi? Exactly, right? As if that was the only pasuk in the Torah. Like, as if it was some, you know, and then an Achron came along and said, oh, but there's also Bal Yimatzeh, right? And Bal Yimatzeh is just like this perush on Bal Yirah. Not the first time we've encountered that idea, obviously, in our learning. We saw a very similar kind of an idea in the Ran, right? But everything that the Rambam sets up is a way of saying, that Bailus is the Gorem, and it's going to be the Mechayiv in many ways, right? That's why, Chametz that you own, Afilu Hetmino, Afilu Hifkido Biad Goy, you're going to be Chayiv. On the other hand, Chametz that's not yours, that's under non-Jewish ownership, is not going to be a problem, fundamentally. Afilu Etzlo Babayis, right? Not just that it's something that's in your Rishus, but the Rambam makes it clear. Afilu Etzlo Babayis, yeah, there are Dinim Derabanan that go into that. And as we recall from, last week, for the Rambam, Kabbalah Sachrayus, even Kabbalah Sachrayus Al Yidei Ones, Dehainu Chayela Divnei Machoza, that's just all one big fancy way of saying we have a pretty wide definition of Bailus here. But Havilei Kedide for the Rif, Hareze Shalom for the Rambam, and even in terms of Al Yidei Ones, the Ravid says, wait a second, I don't believe in any of this, but Al Yidei Ones, the Rambam will say, Nira Kimi Sheyeshlo Shalom, right? That it's, okay, one further step removed, but the Rambam was so motivated to interpret everything by way of Bailus. The Ramban never was going to go in that direction, but the Ramban says he would have settled for Rabbeinu Tam. He would have been comfortable with that approach. But, to his credit, and this is what the Ritva, his grand Talmud, calls Gidola Miso, right, the much more profound idea, he's able to extract from the Mechilta that not only are we talking about a major Kula when the Bailus is that of the Nachri, but Afilu Bechamtso Shal Yisrael. Mabescha Berishuscha, Avkol Sheberishuscha, Nemar Batorah Bivatechem. And just like Bal Yira'eh, is the watchword for the Rambam, for the Ramban, Shivas Yamim Se'orla Yimatze Bivatechem, you can bold, underline, italicize Bivatechem. That's really what it comes down to. And that's exactly what we were talking about yesterday. Bivatechem is almost everything. And therefore, says the Ramban, the absence of Bivatechem is going to be enough to be mafkia any chiyuv de'oraisa, even a case of clear Chemtso Shal Yisrael, where there's Bailus, the absence of Rishus will be mafkia that. And what's so fascinating is that the Ramban says in the opposite direction, even when you have Chemtso Shal Nachri, if it's in your bias, you are going to be responsible, provided that there's Kabbalah Sachrayas. Sharei Nemar B'Torah B'Vaseichem. Now, this is clearly the point of origin of the Ritva's idea. We talked about the Ritva of Chemtso Shal Nachri, that you're chayiv for because of the Kabbalah Sachrayas, midin bal yimatze, but it's not subject to the knas of Chametz Shavar Levav Pesach because it wasn't Jewish-owned Chametz. So that was, I think, an incredibly important point that the Ramban was originating. And just one more point of contrast here, the Ramban's really strong emphasis on Batechem in the literal sense of the term. Is the Chametz in your house? So even if you own it, but it's not in your house, it's in the non-Jew's house, and therefore you're not going to be Chayev, and vice versa, if the non-Jew's Chametz is in your house, and you have an even greater association to it, Levi's point still continues to resonate, right? That's why I have to use terms like association or affiliation. It's a little bit hard to pin down. Of an association and affiliation generated by proximity, Dehainu Bivatechem, and the Kabbalah Sachrayus, so that will generate a chiyuv. The Ramban stands here, on this point, in stark contrast to the Rush. Because for the Rush, the term Bivatechem could not have been less significant. The Rush almost completely annihilates any natural meaning for that term. Anybody want to just summarize again the Rush's personal view of what constitutes Batechem? Yeah, Shemi?
Anything where your stuff is allowed to be and your stuff is automatically considered your bias.
Right. Ma beischa b'rishoscha v'kol sh'b'rishoscha in a completely different sense of the term, right? That if Ilan Goldstein allows me to put things down in his home address, then, as far as the Chametz is concerned, it's not base Ilan Goldstein, it's base C. He's willing to look past that. And again, Ilan, if you just want to remind us, Ilan A, as they like to say in the early childhood years, Ilan G and Ilan A. That's how they did it in my day. If you just want to remind me, so what does the Rush end up doing with the Mechilta?
He says that's only with
Right, so in a case where a Jew and a non-Jew are involved in a monetary transaction, so a Jew accepts a loan from a non-Jew, and he's got to pay it back at some point, but there's a collateralized chametz. In other words, the non-Jew says, okay, I'll need some core assets to hold on to if I'm going to be prepared to go ahead with this loan. Hand over those yodels right now. And the Jew says, not the yodels. But here, hino etzlo, if it's in the Beis Hanachri, especially, and there's all kinds of different permutations in the Gemara, but Ilan, you remember what the main question is that the Rush doesn't allude to here, but in the Sugya, the question is whether, here, hino etzlo, whether they said me'achshav, right? If it's actually, really basically, not just in the Nachri's Rishus, but in the Nachri's possession, that's why the Rush wanted to say, oh, the Mechilta isn't challenging anything that we believe, because it's not even really Chem Social Yisrael at that point. It's collateralized and it's Me'achshav, so it's 92% into the bilus of the Nachri anyway. Okay, so that's basically what we had accomplished yesterday in terms of the Ramban. I'd like to finish the Ramban in terms of his Chidushim al Hashas, and then to read the parallel Ramban, which is in next week's Parsha. A little bit of a head start on Shnai Mikra for those who are keeping up with the Rambans. Added bonus. Anybody want to volunteer? By all means.
I want to volunteer. Also, confirm is that like you can't get a head start.
What's that?
Yeah,
but since nobody in the world besides me, I don't really believe that the Ramban is really part of the actual Kiyum of Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. It's just how could a person not learn the Rambans as they go? I feel like it's almost a dereliction of duty. So Uvilvad Shelo Yakdim Lo Shayachar is definitely a good point. But I think that the good news, the wonderful thing is that the chumrah of doing the Rambans is asi li dekula in a good sense of you can still be flexible. And plus it's really rachamei shemaim. The shortest parsha in terms of Rambans is Va'era. Bo is amongst the longest in all of the Torah. So it's really rachamei shemaim that it came out this way, so that we can all keep up. Okay, thank you for volunteering, Levi. Hold on, Levi. Just one second. Where are you?
We're
Haven't yet finished the Ramban al Hashas yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I think what with the paragraph, I think it was like Lamadnu Mikan. We started. There you go. So what's the Ramban's point here? Unless you can agree to this, Mechilta, the Ramban says, we're left with an almost absurd scenario. What's his... Yeah, go ahead, Levi.
Basically, if we put so much emphasis on, if you don't accept this, then you would say that if you're mukha beyond nafri, but it was mehir, so that's basically all that matters. Like, if you put that much emphasis on it, that'll be all that matters, and you'll be over on that in that situation. But whereas whereas if something's in your house, as long as it's not yours, then you wouldn't be over on it, and that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so again, we'll sharpen this point in just a second, but I think the Ramban, just we could say, I understand what you're saying, a little bit more direct. Shimmy, did you want to? Go ahead.
Ramban is saying that if not for this, then you might not possibly think that chametz in a city that you know, you're not in, that you own, you'd be violating for, and in your house that somebody else's you wouldn't. But Rambam says
that's
exactly what happens.
That's exactly right. So really, the Ramban is making an argument from textualism. He's saying, look, you know, like we have to remember what the Torah itself said. Shivas yamim se'or lo yimatzei bebateichem. That has to mean something. That has to mean something. And for the Rosh, it doesn't really mean a great deal. And to be honest, for the Rambam, it doesn't really mean a great deal. And yes, the Ramban says, I'm fully aware, lo yira lecha chametz v'lo yira lecha se'or b'chol givulecha, means it doesn't have to be in your actual domicile, but if a person, like said, you know, in a more agrarian setting, you know, has a wider expanse of property. Remember we dealt with that ritva, that the boros, shichin, and ma'aros that a person owns in his land are going to be considered batim. But if it's in somebody else's bias, and if it's in somebody else's gvul, how exactly is that going to comport with the simple meaning of the psukim in the Torah? So chemtzil shel Yisrael birshus nachri is automatically pater. And the converse scenario, shivas yamim se'or lo yimatzei bibateichem, so the Ramban says, pray tell, I don't understand. How are you going to read that in the end of the day and say that even if it's under non-Jewish ownership, if it's in your house, and let's say you have Kabbalah Sachrayus, that you're not going to violate. Harei bateichem ne'emar. That's what the Torah said. To that, right, the Rambam, and even Rabbeinu Tam could respond to that and say, well, wait a second. Shalcha yataroa v'alta roa shalacherim kigoin shal nachrim, right, Rashi, v'shal gavoa. So maybe we shouldn't be so bothered by that. But the Ramban says, well, if that were really true, basically, if bailus were the only issue, why in the world would the Torah have ever identified specific locations, bateichem and gvulcha? And I think that's the most direct way of expressing the conclusion the Ramban arrived at. For the Rambam, location means nothing. Doesn't. Now, what the Rambam will tell you is, oh, I think location matters, right? When it's not under your formal ownership, but it's in your house and there's Kabbalah Sachrayos, so that's when we care about location. But that's like a very attenuated understanding of the Psukim. So, for the Ramban, the Mechilta led him back to the Psukim, and the Psukim led him to a conclusion where location really makes a difference. Bivateichem, bigvulchem. Okay, let me take, I think there were two questions that I saw. First as Rio, and then Ellie. Oh, okay, that was in a hand? Okay. Ellie, by all means.
Where did the word gvulcha and bivateichem, do we actually see that you can't own it? Meaning we see that they can't be in your homes or in your properties, I guess.
Yeah.
But we don't actually see that from the book and the tefillah, meaning not from the chah, that you can't own it.
Yeah. The only direct reference to ownership, quote unquote, even though it's in Isra Hanas, so you can't really own it, is lecha. Well, I guess that's his point. What he's saying is, if all we were really concerned about was your bailus,
right,
it's just very hard to understand why the Torah would have ever expressed itself in this fashion.
Even the thought seems, I still don't see it concretely as referring to ownership so much as being seen to.
Okay. But I mean, but in light of what about in light of shalcha yataroa, about taroa shalachem and shalgavoa, right?
Yeah, but
The Gemara did interpret that to mean ownership. That, and that the Ramban is not contesting. But the Ramban is what he's suggesting is that the parameters of your ownership and the halachic consequences of your ownership are circumscribed by Bateichem and by Gevulchem. Right? That's his point. Right, Israel? That it's sort of diametrically opposite the Rambam. Instead of saying Bal Yira dominates the discussion and Bal Yimatzeh is just some kind of a comment on that, it's the diametric opposite. He's saying that what ultimately is dispositive is Bateichem and Gevulchem. And yeah, we care about your ownership, but only insofar as it fits into the rubric of Bateichem and Gevulchem. Well, Bal Yira is affiliated with Gevulcha, and Bal Yimatzeh is affiliated with Bias. Right, that was what the Ritva was directly addressing, that point. The Ritva said, right, in your house, right, it would be a problem, even if it was Tamun, but Bechol Gevulcha, if it's Tamun, right, if it's obscured from the eyes, right, he says he thinks it'd be Potzer, because Bal Yira, which is bilus oriented, is subject and again limited and circumscribed by Re'iyas Ha'ayin instead of Hatmana. No doubt. Shimmy.
No, I was just grabbing
the old plexiglass grab. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, Levi, go ahead.
Nearly of all
Right. In other words, here he knows. So just give us the case, Levi. Okay. So you have a situation where the chametz of the Jew was stationed in the home of the non-Jew, okay? And there's a din of biur in that situation. The Ramban is going to say, sounds like it's a din de Rabbanan, right? Eino Yehudi shahilba es Yisrael alchem, so achar Pesach, over. Okay, so again, they had made a financial arrangement. The Jew was going to take out a loan from the non-Jew. There was collateralized chametz. Shehir hino etzlo. What that means is hirhin beveso shel eno Yisrael or eno Yehudi mashma. The chametz was in the home of the Gentile at the critical time over Pesach. Okay. So the Ramban says, I believe that's only an Isser Dirabanan. Midaraisa, your bailus, Birshu Social Nachri, is Pater. So this case is only dealing with a Chi of Dirabanan. Interesting. So what's that case? Mechiras Chametz de Beis Shammai? Right, so the whole idea is that even if you're going to sell the chametz, we want it to be mevuar min ha'olam on Pesach. That you, even though you no longer have formal title to this, you sold it, right, the idea is it still retains some connection to you, and shalchaya taroa bal taroa shalacherim for Beis Shammai isn't going to help, okay?
The Koteach, Rabbi Yehuda,
from Deceiver, the research literary scholar.
Okay, so even though, you know, they were willing, these minority views, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the Beis Shammai, that they were willing to go all the way on this, Umi did who? He says, Nishma the Beis Hillel, that at least Beis Hillel would be Moda, that there'd be an Issa Rabban in the case of Mafkid. If the Yisrael was Mafkid, his Chametz, Eitzel the Nachri, let's say in the context of a Halva, that would generate a chi of the Rabban and a beer. V'chein mashma b'tosefta. Okay. So the Ramban is saying, I'll tell you what. On a Doraisa level, Rishus, the absence of Rishus, is mafkia bailus, the fact that it's Rishus al Nachri. But I'll concede a point on the Rabbanan level that you'd still be obligated to do beer. Your bailus still matters. I'll throw the Rambam that bone. I don't think the Rambam would be so, would feel that the Ramban was being overly generous here. But the Ramban is willing to make such a concession. And now we get to, of course, the Ramban. Every Rishon has thrown in the Davar Pashat or Davar Barar, so here we go. Okay, so Levi, so why is he just conceptually speaking appealing to the case of Chamed Shenafla Lav Mapolas here at the end? What does the Ramban gain by doing that?
Because he's able to draw a distinction between, Midrabanan and Midoraisa.
Okay, very good. He does think in the end that it's a Gezerah, very good, that it's a Dindurabanan. I think just in a more fundamental way, it aligns with what he was saying before. You could have bailus, but you hit the nail on the head, right? If you're talking about a gal avanim gadol she'ef shalolif no so, right? That it's mevuar because even though, you know, you might be able to, you know, bring Noam Barinholtz and say, you know, under this pile of stones, I have some wonderful chametz. Noam will pat you on the back and say, you know, while we all respect your bailus, you have no access to this chametz. You have no practical control over it. Remember, we were talking about the Nachri and Bitseko Biyado, that he controls it directly. It's the opposite, right? Nafal of Mapolas, he says, in such a situation, the absence of Rishus obviates your bailus on a Daraisa level, and all that's possibly left is Xera. Okay, so the Ramban, just in the last two paragraphs, and then we'll go back to see the Ramban ala Torah. The Ramban is willing to concede a chi of the Rabbanan, but nothing on the Doraisa level. Ilan, go ahead. And then Yehuda, you'll be right after Ilan.
When Ziona and I were talking about this Ramban, and we both agreed that it makes a lot of sense to say that the Chayyid is Rishus if it's based on the Doraisa. But then the Ran says that the call of the Milsa is Kabbalah Sachrayus, and he was the first one to say that Zera Doraisa.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's a lot of logic to that. What Ilan and Ben Sion are saying is that, you know, if you really think that the Torah was more fundamentally concerned about you eating chametz than anything else, you know, so bailus is not as compelling a reason to incur an Isser Doraisa as your direct access to the chametz. I mean, the reality is the chances of you eating chametz, which is under a 3-ton plate of steel, is zero. And the chances of you eating chametz that's under somebody else's ownership that's in your house is, like, I don't know, pretty high. So there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of merit to that. You know, a person can believe, I'll just say, the only reason it's not mochrach is that a person can still believe that Rishus is an independent mechayev without ever signing on the dotted line for Gzeira D'Oraisa, and just say the Torah was really concerned about people being not just benefiting from chametz and not just eating chametz, but people even having proximity to chametz. And there's at least a conceptual argument to be made that, you know, formal ownership of chametz that's in Timbuktu is a less important affiliation than chametz being on your kitchen table, even if it's not yours. You know, that's a defensible position. None of that takes away from a very important hayara. Yeah, Yehuda. Yes.
But so then why is it that eating's availability matters so much? Because if it's not that you're going to eat it, which difference does it make?
Yeah, so I think for the Rambam, availability is almost a non-issue. And he's willing to say, as if it were the simplest thing in the world, that Yehuda Mazin's chametz in Timbuktu, in the house of, Kyle the Gentile, is a problem on a Doraisa level. So I think that does follow. Did you want to follow up? Sorry. Oh, yeah. Well, for the Ramban, what Ilan is saying is that he thinks it's more of a live option. He's not holding the Ramban to it. I think for the Rambam, we made a very strong argument that it's impossible that it could be Gzeira D'oraisa. Yeah. Okay. Levi, by all means. Now and Eitan here will fulfill your request from yesterday. So Rashi, where Rashi actually takes, up until Beis Chaber Shuscha, Av Gvul Chaber Shuscha, or sometimes the Gir says, Av Kol Shaber Shuscha. So that's the end of the citation. So Rashi says, this must come to exclude, which case? Yatza. Exactly. So, you're reading these Rashis innocently. Al HaTorah Yatzah Chemso Shel Nachri Shu Eitzel Yisrael V'lo Kiba Alav Achrayas. You're like, I know that Rashi. Davav Min Aleph, right? I've seen that man before. Okay. Zela Shon Rashi. So that's Rashi's understanding of the Mechilta, Mabeischa Birishoscha Av Kvucha Birishoscha. And the Ramban starts, All right, so let's stop there, right? If the whole point is birishuscha, so why is that motzi chametz shel nachri that is in your rishus? You want to just drill down on that for a second?
I'm actually kind of confused by that, because I would think that they're not equal, because I would think that Batim is a higher level Rishus. Isn't that like what you just explained?
Possibly, but he's saying that once you're dealing with, if you're going to make it about Chametz Shel Nachri, right, don't bury the lead. The real story is that it's outside of your bailus. Yeah, that's what he means. Right. Ubatim ugvulin shavin hainbo, shereshtei and rishus shalo, umamon shalacherim. So whether it's in your house or whether it's in your gazebo, and Levi, you raise a fair point, right? If it's lahotzi chemtso shal nachri, lahotzi chemtso shal nachri shouldn't be predicated on the word rishus. It should be because it's not yours. It's not your mamon. It's like a weird way of getting at that idea. I'm not saying what you're saying isn't true, but the Ramban is saying, like, why would you be using the word rishus to make that point? It's like a funny word to use. Okay.
I almost made
made it through the whole first semester without getting caught.
And then today I finally got caught. Okay.
You got
caught
twice.
Angel has a bunch of Sarah Michelle Boulin.
Oh, okay, perfect. So if you wanted to talk about Chemtzel Shel Nachri, there was a pretty easy way of doing it. And it wasn't this Mechilta, Ma Beischa Bereshuscha, Gvulcha She Bereshuscha. You should have gone back to the well of Shelcha, Yataroa, Valtaroa, Shelacherim, Vishal Gavoa. Abel HaMedrash HaZeh, meaning this Medrash Halacha, the Mechilta. Yeah, and this line, I think, is really striking. Even though, of course, it's consistent with, and we're happy to say that it's consistent with what he says in his Chidushim Anor Le'Arba'asar, because, you know, it really distills the Ramban's approach. Shelo hushharnu klal min haTorah, ela mirishusenu. You know, after seeing the approach of the Rambam and spending so much time on it, right, you come to a point where you realize that for the Ramban, he arrived at a conclusion that the real emphasis in the sugya was precisely in the opposite direction. The weight of the sugya is on rishus, your proximity to the chametz. Ilana ben Zion Marna suggests that's a din, possibly an exera daraisa kind of an approach. Could be. It's interesting to me that the Ramban never references that. It's a little bit of an Ikar Chasar Min HaSefer. You had multiple opportunities for the Ramban to say something like, you know, Veharei Chashasha HaTorah, something like that. You know, the, you know, Chumras HaAveira, Isser Achila, Isser Kares. You don't really see that, I think, as much. So, Shalohu's harnu klal minatara on a daraisa level, the only way of violating is to have chametz in places that you own. Beischa, birishuscha, af givulcha, birishuscha, and not in anybody else's property, not in anybody else's home. And that overshadows and dominates the question of who is the titular owner of this chametz. Before we go over the next paragraph, I'll just mention, I think, one of the interesting strengths of this Ramban, and it goes back, of course, as you would expect, to Vavam and Beis. You know, at the very outset of our approach here, we talked about Shnei Dvarim Enam Birshuso Shel Adam, Asana Kasav Kilo Hen Birshuso, Chametz BePesach, Lavor Lav Bali Rab Bali Matzei, and Bor Birshus HaRabim. And, you know, Rashi already on that Gemara is sticking it in, right? Shnei Dvarim Enam Birshuso Shel Adam, Enan Shelo, right? He's already sticking in the Bailus idea. He says, yeah, it's true of the Bor Birshus HaRabim as well, because, you know, it's hefker, so it can't really be yours, but Torah says it's like it's yours. But in light of that Gemara, given the fact that formal bailus is off the table anyway, all that we could ever appeal to is bailus for purposes of Isser, there is something appealing about saying that one doesn't believe that the primary mechayev is bailus anyway. Shnei dvarim enan birshuso shel adam, v'asan akasav ki'ilu hen birshuso, lav or lav b'shnei lavin, b'bal yirah b'bal yimatzeh. So while the Ramban continues to recognize a category such as bailus Yisrael, it's simply not as important as rishus, your proximity to the chametz. And I'll just add to that, the Ramban has been dealing strictly with the lavin, but if I had to make an argument to support the Ramban, maybe in a different direction than the Gzeira Doraisa, I would actually make it from the Aseh side. Ach, bayom harishon, tashbisu seor mibateichem. And I'll ask you, what does it sound like the Torah is talking about? Does it sound like the Torah is really super focused on your formal bailus? Or does it sound like the Torah is focused on you expunging chametz from your surroundings? Ach bayom harishon tashbisu seor mibateichem. So it's not just in the context of Shivas Yamim Su'or Lo Imatzeh B'Bateichem. But I think the Ramban has another credible piece of evidence to put into the puzzle on the Aseh side as well. Okay, so now we come to the Divrei Sofer, and we know what to expect. The Ramban is going to say, okay, well, you know, if it's under your bailus, we still care about that to a degree, the Rabbanan level. That's the impact that Yichid Lo Bayis has, is that you obviate any need for Pir Chametz even at the Rabbanan level. Yeah, so this line I also like, probably should have bolded it as well, right? That here it goes, it gets like a step further with respect to the dominance of Rishus over Bailus. So I guess in the Chidush of Malashas, I would have gotten the impression, okay, it's your chametz, but since you have no access to it, then it's not enough to push over the threshold because you need, obviously, Rishos as well. Harei nemar b'Torah b'teichem. But in light of his last line, Avud mimenu mikol adam, the chametz which is underneath the mapolas, and it's not accessible to you nor to anybody else, at that point, the Ramban almost, I think, lays his theory bare. Mutter, right? There's no rabbinic obligation here at all. Delo karinan be shalcha, which to me is, I guess, Levi, the apotheosis of the doctrine, because what he's suggesting is total absence of rishus is mafkia bailus. There was a fellow who went here, lovely guy, Donnie Weber. Last time we learned Pesachim, he used to always sit in the corner. We're in a different room in the yeshiva. But he was like behind where Yehuda is now. And the cabinets didn't change. The cabinets have done well through the pandemic, Baruch Hashem. They're still here. So when we used to talk about this Ramban, I always used to talk with Donnie Weber, was always in the corner. And it was always Donnie's chametz that we were reflecting on. So, Donnie Weber, Zachor Latov, Mitoch Kach Zachrei, right? So, you know Donnie?
He's on my trial.
He's my senior mentor.
Wait, he's in...
He was on mock trial.
Oh, okay, I was like, you have extra years of eligibility for mock trial? He's still playing? Right, exactly, it's like collegiate sports, right? So, yeah, it gets to a point where... Again, you know, Donnie brings Noam Barinholtz over and says, I know that you think that I'm somebody who doesn't have chametz, but I am somebody who has chametz, but it's underneath that mapolas over there. And it's going to take 7 cranes to get at it, but you'll see. I'm a man with chametz. And Noam will gently put his hand on Donnie's shoulder and say, Donnie, you're not a man with chametz.
Emmanuel Lubetsky, please come to my office. Emmanuel Lubetsky, please come to my office.
And Noam will go on to explain, your complete lack of access to said chametz makes me question whether I could even consider that chametz yours. Well, it depends how he feels about the Ramban, but that's the power of this last line. Lo karinan be shocha. Now, I'll conclude my remarks today with my suspicion is that this is not exportable to Kol HaTorah Kula, and it's a product of Reb Elazar because your bailus is so attenuated anyway. We're willing to look at your bailus. You can't be the owner of this anymore. It's Aser Behana. So all that's left is a quasi-bailus, is a Torah-assigned bailus for purposes of violating Ba'ira Ba'imatzeh. And we're willing to look at chametz that's totally inaccessible to you, the owner, not only as mutter, because we believe that Rishus circumscribes bailus and says, okay, well, you might be the Baal HaChametz, but you don't have Rishus. But this last line goes beyond any point, I believe, in the Chidushim, where the Ramban says, well, Rishus is so powerful that it's not even yours anymore. Lo karinan be shalcha. We wouldn't relate to this in any meaningful way as your chametz. And that's true, right? Not just on a Doraisa level, but on a Darabana level. You don't have to be Mivar that chametz. It's only if you can lift up the Gal Shalavanim. So I think there's great significance to that line. It, I think, is very consistent with what we saw the previous paragraph. Shalohu's Harnu Klal Mina Torah Ela Meirushusenu. And now he's saying on a Durabanan level, if it's really completely inaccessible, it's even further inaccessible because it's, right, not accessible to you. And he adds in this line, Avod mimenu u mikol adam, that's true, then on a derabanan level. And we don't even see that as chametz shalcha anymore. And since it's only a tchi of derabanan, when it's shalcha, when it's not your rishus, here there's no iser derabanan because it's not shalcha anymore. That's an amazing idea. So in this last paragraph in the Ramban, in his Perush al Torah, you see something that you didn't see before. His willingness to question the bialus based on the total absence of rishus for you or for anybody else, and have that obviate the chi of the Rabbanan. Ilan, go ahead. Yeah, so that is something that we that is really left, amazingly, to discussion in the notes they gave him. So, I forgot this, today they have got the... Yeah, so the formal discussion that is actually, believe it or not, left to the Nosei Kelim in Shulchan Aruch, which you'll see now. So, look, it really is, for the Ramban, I think quite likely that it would only be an Isser Derabanan. I mean, your chametz, but you don't have any rishos over it, it's in somebody else's house. And so you have a very ironic scenario from the perspective of other Rishonim, but you could have the Baal HaChametz, who has no Rishos over the Chametz, because it's not Beveso, so it's not Big Vulo, where he only has a Chi of Derabanan. And then you have, depending on what the arrangement was, but let's say, just to make it simpler, there's Kabbalah Sachrayus, or whatever it is, right? So then there would be a Chi of Daraisa for the Nifkad. So there's a Chi of Derabanan for the Mafkid, based on Bailus. There's a chi of Doraisa, excuse me, for the Nifkad, based on Rishos. That's what you would expect to play out. He doesn't mention the case, but the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch try to figure out what that would look like. Okay. Very good.